This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad al-Sadiq al-Wa'd al-Ameen. Wa alihi wa sahbihi ajba'een. Brothers and sisters, welcome back to the second episode of Boys to Men. Of course, it's called Boys to Men. It's for boys, but sisters are welcome to listen anytime, inshallah ta'ala. Today, inshallah, it's a follow-up on what we spoke about last Wednesday in the first Boys to Men introductory lesson. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We mentioned, just to sum up what we spoke about last time, you can go back for your own reference. We spoke about how life, in life we go through stages and phases, and each phase that we go through in our life has its own specifics. And we learn certain things at every phase in life. And we mentioned that the stage of adolescence is one of the most important in all of our lives. All of our lives. And that's because it lays the foundation that we use as a launch pad to go to the places where we'll go, inshallah ta'ala, in the future. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about something very, very, very important. And this is something that we all need to understand. Of course, in this age of adolescence, the age of adolescence is from the age of 10 all the way up to 19. And that's what the World Health Organization said. They said 10 to 19 is the official ages of adolescence. And in the midst of this age, every one of us goes through this stage called puberty. And it is a huge milestone in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our minds during this age. We start understanding things. We start seeing patterns. We start drawing connections. We start understanding very complex concepts. And that's because our brains start to form, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, and we start to learn from our experiences. So during this age, some of us learn early, and some of us learn a little late. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew a line for all of us. And that is the line of bulugh, puberty. Some of us start to understand the importance of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated on us early on. That's why the ulama of Islam, they called this the stage of tamiz. Tamiz meaning the knowing right from wrong. And they called a child that knows right from wrong before they reach the age of puberty al-tifl al-mumayyiz. Or al-tifl al-mumayyiz, yes. Or al-mumayyiz. So this tifl, the child that understands right from wrong, they are required to do what is right. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold them accountable for what they do. Because they still didn't reach that milestone, which is the age of puberty. As far as the ones who don't start knowing right from wrong until the age of puberty or after, the line would always be the age of puberty. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in numerous ayat in the Quran. Many ayat specify the age of puberty as the breaking point where the child stops becoming a child and starts being responsible. Responsible for what? And this is what we're going to talk about today. One of the main things we're responsible for at this age is staying clean and taking care of ourselves. Of course, in this age, and many of you that are in this age can relate to what I'm saying right now and what I'm about to say, your body starts to go through a huge transformation. It starts changing. You notice hair growing in certain areas. You notice pimples coming out. Your body starts to change. Weird things start to happen. And sometimes, you know, it's very difficult to understand why your body is going through this. You felt like you probably feel or felt like you were perfectly fine, jumping around. Then all of a sudden, things started happening with your body, and you're trying to make sense of them. Before, you used to play soccer, you used to play basketball or cricket, and you wouldn't sweat, you wouldn't smell, you wouldn't see anything under your armpits. But at a certain age, you start to have a body odor, right? You start to smell a certain way, you start to look a certain way. And this age, at this age, it's very important to understand how we need to adapt Islamically to the stage that we're in at the time. Cleanliness is one of the most important things in Islam. The religion of Islam emphasizes a lot on purity and purification, on cleanliness. As a matter of fact, there is no religion in the world that emphasizes on cleanliness like Islam. There's absolutely no religion, and there's no cult, there's no group, there's no nothing. No group of people in the world or in the history of man ever called to the purification of oneself like the religion of Islam. And this is, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, one of the khasa'is, one of the things that are specific to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something we have to say alhamdulillah for. So, in one of the ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-nazafatu min al-iman," cleanliness is from iman. And in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "At-tahuru shatru al-iman." He said that purification, tahur, is half of iman. So you have a faith, you believe in Allah, you believe in the messengers, you believe in the angels, you believe in the hereafter, you believe in the divine decree, you believe in the scriptures, you believe in all the principles of iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, half of your iman is cleanliness. Allahu Akbar. How is that possible? Inshallah, this is what we're going to talk and emphasize on today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We might need today's episode and Wednesday's episode, as this talk is only on Mondays and Wednesdays, inshallah. So, what is this purification? And what is the cleanliness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is demanding us, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to have at this age? Obviously, when we get to this age of puberty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things obligatory on us. Things that weren't obligatory on us, things that we wouldn't get sin for, things that we wouldn't feel burdened with, right? There's no taklif, and taklif means burden. So, at the age of puberty, we have to start keeping clean as an obligation from Rabbil Alameen. That actually rhymed, I didn't intend for it to rhyme. I said, we have to stay clean as an obligation from Rabbil Alameen. And how do we stay clean? So, what we use to stay clean is one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in this world, made the majority of the world comprised of, and created us from or with, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a necessity for every living thing. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. And we made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and we made from water everything alive. Okay? So water is what we need to use on ourselves to achieve this purification. And this was decreed by Rabbil Alameen. Water, brothers and sisters, is divided into two types. Okay, so we see water, we know water, right? Everybody knows what water is, but there's pure, and you can take notes right now if you want, because from now until the end, inshallah, are things that you need to try to remember. So if you could quickly grab a paper and a pen, or a pencil and a paper, and take all this information down, because I guarantee you it will be beneficial for you, inshallah. Especially if you're in this age, you need to understand these things. Water is divided into two kinds. There's impure water and there's pure water. So impure water, it's pretty self-explanatory. Impure water is water that has impurities in it. Okay? Water that has impurities in it. So the ulama, they said if it changes its odor, if it changes its taste, or if it changes its smell, then it's not considered water anymore. Okay? So if it changes its odor, I mean its smell, odor or smell, if it changes its color, or if it changes its taste, then it is no longer water. Okay? So an example of this is, let's say there's a dead animal next to a small body of water, like a small pond, and this dead animal falls in it, and then the pond starts to smell a little weird. Okay, has a funky smell in it. Can we make wudu with it? Can we use it to purify ourselves? Absolutely not. Because what? It changed its smell. Sometimes the color of the water changes. Right? So it's no longer called water. For example, I open a pack of Kool-Aid and I pour it inside a big a gallon of water. Okay, all it has is a little Kool-Aid powder in it. And then what? It turns into Kool-Aid. It's no longer water. It changed its color. And its taste. And what if I put food coloring in it? Same thing. Okay? So if its taste, its smell, and so we said the three things that we mentioned before, the taste, the smell, just the odor, okay, and the color of it. Right? So if any of these things change, then it's no longer water that we could use to purify ourselves with. Right? Another thing that we can that's considered impure is water that certain impurities fell in. So if I have like a gallon of water or bucket of water and some urine falls inside it, then what happens? We can't use it to purify ourselves, and that's pretty self-explanatory, inshallah. So what if it's a big body of water, okay? And like, let's say in the lake, or in the ocean, or sea, a child pees in one of these large bodies of water. Can we still use it to make wudu? Yes, because it's a large body of water, okay? And I'm not going to speak about certain sizes because there are certain fiqh differences and whatnot, but just as a general rule, let's keep it as general as possible today, inshallah. The second type of water is the pure water. Okay, so pure water, alhamdulillah, is water we can use to purify ourselves. But not all pure water, or water deemed to be pure, that we can use to wash clothes with, or that we call pure, is water that we can spiritually cleanse ourselves with. Use it, meaning do ablution, wudu, or do ghusl. Complete bodily ghusl with. So some of the pure is okay to make wudu with, and some of the pure water is not okay to make wudu. So what is okay to make wudu with is any water that's in its original state. That's it. Any water in its original state is okay to purify, whether it's from a sea, ocean, lake, pond, any water, a well, any water, it's in its original state. Okay, what about other water, like water that is pure, but we can't use to make wudu with? Okay. The first kind is water that was used for wudu before. So if somebody has, like there's a bucket of water, we used it, somebody stuck their hand in it, made wudu, and the water fell back into the bucket. The water is, okay, it's pure. Okay, you could wash off something that's najis. Okay, if some impurity fell on your clothes, you could use it to wash. But can you make wudu with it again? Or ghusl, full bodily wash with it again? Absolutely not. What about water that is stolen? Water that's stolen. Can we use it to make wudu? No, because stealing water obviously is a sin. And ablution is an act of worship. Can an act of worship and a sin occur at the same time? No, they can't. They can't exist at the same time. So we can't use stolen water for wudu, because this is an act of worship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and only accept that which is pure. Okay, so stolen water isn't pure. Another type is water from a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment came down. For example, the Dead Sea. That's where Qawm Lut were. Or the well of Qawm Salih, which is in the north of Medina. The people of Salih who killed the camel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them after 3 days. These people had a well, and that's the well they refused to let the camel drink from. This well, although it is there and the water is pure, but we can't use it to make wudu with, because we were ordered to stay away from places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath and punishment came down. Okay? So this is first thing. So now we're done with the water section. We can move to the second and very, very, very important part, which is wudu. So wudu, inshallah ta'ala, next class on Wednesday, I'm going to demonstrate how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did wudu with a single cup of water. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوضأ بالمد, like just a handful, like a mud. They said it's about a cup full of water. And this cup full of water was enough to wash all of the body parts. And surprisingly, akhwat, once you learn it, you're going to see how wasteful we are. When we come to the masjid, when we go to the bathrooms at home, we blast the water and we're making wudu, we're splashing. Perhaps one of us wastes 2 gallons of water just to make wudu, not knowing that we're actually committing a sin when we're trying to do an act of worship. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us to wash our limbs 3 times in wudu. Right? We could do it once, twice, or 3 times. So if we do it any more than 3, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ وَتَعَدَّى وَظَلَمْ. He said, anyone who washes a body part more than 3 times, then they did something bad, they did an evil action. وَتَعَدَّى, they transgressed. وَظَلَمْ, they oppressed as well, subhanAllah. 3 bad things, imagine, because of adding to an act of worship. Of course, taking a shower is something, but when we're doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a completely different story. We have to do it the way it was prescribed. And there's a divine wisdom in it that we may understand, we may not understand. Okay? So, wudu is the main part of tahara, purification. Why? Because wudu is something we do on average 3 to 5 times a day. Okay, we have to do it before a salah if we don't have wudu already. Unless, mashallah, someone can keep their wudu from fajr all the way till isha, that's a whole different story. But for the most part, we're supposed to make wudu before every salah. How is this wudu? Of course, we all learned wudu. I'm not telling you that you don't know how to make wudu. But right now, it's just filling in the gaps. Okay? Some of us have small gaps in our knowledge. We don't understand why this wudu is important, or perfecting it, or doing it the proper way is important. Okay. So, why did the Prophet ﷺ said, "At-tahuru shatru al-iman"? Half of Iman is Tahur. Why? Because Salah is one of the most, the main foundational pillar in Islam. Amud al-Din. Amud al-Din is the main pillar of Islam. That's what Salah is. But without proper wudu and Tahara, purification, can we pray? Is our Salah accepted? Absolutely not. So we may be praying and our prayer is not accepted because one of our limbs wasn't washed properly. or in accordance to the sunnah of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So today we need to make sure that our wudu is proper and that we're doing it right, because if it isn't, then our salah is not right and it is not correct and it is not accepted. Wal'iyadu billah. May Allah accept all our salahs. So the first in wudu is washing our hands until the rusq. Okay? And we all learn this. And between our fingers. And this is something that I commonly see people make mistakes with. They can make wudu and their fingers are closed, right? And between the fingers, don't get washed. Is it worth blowing our salah because our hands weren't washed? Some people just wash the tips of their hands. Not until the wrist. So, see this wrist bone, it has to be wet. The second and third are madmada wa istinshaq. And the Prophet ﷺ, كانوا يبالغ فيهما. The Prophet ﷺ would do it extensively. He would do it strong. So when he gargled water, he would do it a lot. Make sure it would go down his throat. It doesn't have to. It can go around your mouth. But he would make sure that he gargled well. And then when he did istinshaq alayhi salatu wassalam, he would put water in with his right hand and blow it out with his left. And he would breathe in when he put the water in his nose. So that breath is necessary. And subhanAllah, now when they're telling us how to remain clean because of coronavirus, I'm thinking to myself, subhanAllah, as Muslimin, we're required to wash our hands the proper way. Right? You know that 20 second wash? That is what wudu is. To actually do it right, it takes us that long to do it three times. And subhanAllah, doing the madmada, istinshaq, because that's where like these viruses stay. As soon as you breathe them in, or they go through your nose or through your mouth, they rest right here inside the throat. But with good madmada, gargling, and istinshaq through your nose, with breathing in and then breathing out, it won't stay, subhanAllah. Five times a day. If we do it three times, that's 15 times. We're gargling 15 times, and we're putting water in our nose 15 times a day. Alhamdulillah for this deen of purity. Alhamdulillah for the deen of cleanliness. Alhamdulillah for the ni'mah of Islam. Say Alhamdulillah. The next part of wudu, and obviously I know you know this, but I just want you to fill in the gaps right now. Maybe someone didn't point something out to you, or something wasn't explained to you in the most proper way, or is very vaguely shown to you. Right? Right now, the next part is washing your face. The face begins with the sprouting of the hair all the way till the bottom under your chin. And you see this part of the ear right here on the right side, behind your sideburns, until the other side, that all has to be wet. So many times do I enter the wudu room, especially with the youth, and I see them washing their face, right, and not reaching like the beginning of their ears on both sides. Is it worth it to blow our salah? We just made wudu. We might as well make it right. Because you have to know, if you're definitely, if you're in this age of puberty, then you're mukallaf, you're responsible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you about every wudu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you about every salah. So prepare your answer. And know that from today, there is no reason why you should not do it the correct way. You have, inshallah, you have the paper and the pen with you, and you're writing down these notes. Inshallah, this Wednesday, we're going to demonstrate, bi'idhnillah. Next, after the face, we wash the arms. And this is something that our Salaf, alhamdulillah, they were not wasteful with water at all. They would cup their hands the way I'm showing you right now. They'd make it into a cup so that if water enters, it won't fall down between their fingers. They'll cup it and then lift it up, right? And open their fingers, and the water would slip down on both sides. They would take it from the top all the way to the bottom, past the elbow, wipe it. all around, and that would be once. And do that three times for the right hand and three times for the left hand. All right? Don't forget the cup. Some people, I see them blast the water open and then stick their arms under and just rub their arms. That's not right. Okay? Because we want to try to save water when we're doing this. Because the whole reason the Prophet ﷺ said, do not do past three times so we don't waste water while we're doing wudu. Because this is an act of worship. There are people around the world dying because they don't have this extra water that we're wasting. We have to be mindful as Muslimin. We have to respect the ni'am that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Imagine if some child in Africa dying from drought looks at you making wudu. You think he'll make dua for you? Oh, this is my Muslim brother, mashallah, he's making wudu. Or would he say, A'udhu billah, look at how much water these people are wasting. But if he sees you making wudu the proper way, saving water, then he'll say, Alhamdulillah, this is my brother making wudu. So we have to be mindful as Muslimin. Next is washing or wiping our head with water, and then inside our ears. And the last is washing our feet, the right foot. And the Prophet ﷺ would put his finger between every toe and make sure that the water is completely covering his foot all the way until his ankles. And make sure your heels are wet. So the white foot, the right foot, and the left foot. So the Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. And this is a heavy statement from him, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Imam al-Rahmah, Imam of Mercy. In this dunya, he said what? He said, wail, woe. Wail is actually a valley in the hellfire. Lil-aqab, for the heels from the hellfire. Woe to these heels from the hellfire. Why? Because people were washing their feet and parts of their heels were not wet. Imagine? So let's be very careful the way we do our wudu, because if it isn't right, then our salah is not accepted, walayyadu billah. Right? This is the key to an accepted salah bi-idhnillah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our salawat. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the straight path and to guide us to it and to keep us on it and to make the last words that we have in this dunya, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Inshallah ta'ala, next time we'll demonstrate wudu on this camera, live inshallah ta'ala, just so you guys can see a demonstration, and then we'll talk about the next parts, certain changes that you're going through, kind of explain them, talk about ghusl, talk about salah, we're going to talk about zakah, a lot of the things that you don't really know too much about, we're going to explain to you inshallah, so by the time we're done with this Boys to Men series, you're ready to be a man that is responsible, that is Muslim, that knows where they are going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Say, this is my path. I call to Allah with clear guidance. And this is exactly what we want to offer you. جزاكم الله خير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك أتوب إليك. جزاكم الله خير for tuning in. And see you next time, inshallah.